Moments, we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 6, and we're going to be covering Isaiah 6, verses 1 through verse 8, Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through verse 8, and we do believe participation is better than observation, so you can stand to your feet as we read the Word of God, if you're able, as we read the Word of God, and I'm going to read it aloud, you can follow along, and the thought that I'm going to be going through this text with is holiness revealed, holiness revered, and holiness received. Let us read. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Verse 2, it says, above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two, he covered his face. And with two, he covered his feet. And with two, he flew. Verse 3. And one called to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called. The house was filled with smoke. And then it said, and he says, and I said, woe is me. This is Isaiah saying, woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin is atoned for. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then I said, send me. Here I am. Send me. May the Lord add a rich blessing to his word. I want to go back to verse 1. That's where I found my title. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor. Neighbor. Tell me, have you seen him? Amen. You may be seated. My title, topic, subject, and focus is I Saw the Lord. Father, we thank you for this time. I pray now, Lord, that you would be with us. Give us ears to hear. Give us a heart to receive. And God, I believe you want to do things in us that could not be done anywhere else. Where we are struggling, bless us. Where we are weak, strengthen us. Where we are lost, find us. Where we are hurting, heal us. Where we are confused, direct us. Lord, here we are. We need you today. We need a word from you that's going to bring light to dark places, that's going to open up doors that no man can close. Lord, we thank you. As I preach, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. As we come to this moment, I have a confession. I don't know if it's a confession, because as I was driving here this morning, I saw that Frankie Beverly and Mays and the Asley brothers are going to be in town next weekend. So if somebody don't come to prayer, you need to tell them before they let go. Get from in between the sheets. Okay. I am an R&B soul fan. Like I love 70s R&B. 80s was good, but 70s did something different. Anybody agree with me? I mean, you got the likes of Al Green, you know, why do people break up, turn around, and make up? Love can make you do wrong. Love can make you do right. Make you come home early, make you stay out all night long. Love and happiness. Yeah. Thank y'all. Thank y'all. Whoever hit that note, thank you. My voice a little hoarse. I ain't want to falsetto that one. Like, but there are certain songs. It seemed like people fell in love different then. And the songs that they made. And one of the songs I want to highlight today is made by the Shylights. I believe it was 1976, something like that. And it chronicled a man who was looking for the love of his life that had left him. He walked around and he couldn't find her. Things weren't the same anymore. He said, I told jokes and the kids didn't laugh the same. I walked the park and it just didn't seem to, nothing. He ate food and it didn't taste the same. I don't know if you ever been in love so much that it changed everything about you. You watched the movie when you was in love, you watched the movie when you fell out of love, and the movie was bad. And this man, as he was looking for his lover, he got to the one point that he says, you know what I'm looking for? Then he just started asking people, tell me, have you seen her? Tell me, have you seen her? because he had experienced something that had radically changed the way he lived. He was what we call ruined. Like he felt like nobody else could love me like she did. I can't love nobody else like I loved her. Some of us, we've had our own journey, and we know that's not always a permanent feeling, praise God. But sometimes it's hard to imagine what life looks like without the person that you thought you'll always be with. Now, I don't know if there's any believers in here that can go ahead and translate that to our relationship with God, but it's like once you fall in love with God, not being in God's presence, it begins to make you feel a little empty, make you feel a little bad. In other words, the way Usher Raymond said it, you got it bad. Y'all know how it is when you're on the phone, hang up and you call right back. You know you got it bad when you miss a day without your friend and your whole life off track. Now, some of us, you might be thinking about your boo thing, your ex thing, your hopeful thing, your Boaz, or some other. All right, let me keep going. And you might be thinking about that, but I can't help but when I think about the Lord and I think about, you know what, I do got it bad for the Lord. I'm going to go ahead and admit it. Like, I used to try to dumb it down, but I realized, man, if I don't read my Bible in the morning, I'm jacked up from the flow up. It's not going to be blessings that come out my mouth. It's going to be curses that come out my mouth. I'm not going to lay hands and pray for you. I'm going to lay hands and slap you. Like, I realized without the Lord, not only do I got it bad, I am bad. Is there anybody else in here that can testify that if I ain't got the Lord on my side, you better watch out? And the way, in the words of Juvenile, I remixed, I'm a preacher, but I'm still a gorilla, you understand? Hit you like the Thrill of Manila. Y'all ain't ready for this. Shh, be quiet. Tonight is the night we ride. All right. Let me keep going. I blame Pastor Eric Battle for my trip back to the 99. All right, and so, and the fact, though, is, that when I think about having an encounter with the Lord, what I realize is a true encounter with God, you cannot remain the same. You can go to church and remain the same. You can sing worship songs and remain the same. You can say what you're thankful for on Thanksgiving and remain the same. Some people can feel the hand of God, but still not see the God that has the hand. And what I realize often, the reason why we're not experiencing change the way we desire to experience change is because we are chasing the things of God rather than God himself. And I think that this year is a year of course correction, may I say. I think it's a year of course correction where the Lord is saying, yes, religion is meant to keep you in the bounds so you can see me, but religion is not where you see me. Like, religion is made by him, but it's not him. And some of us, we are mad at religion and thinking that's God. Anytime you put trust in people that should have been in God, let me go ahead and let you know, you're going to be let down. Yeah, you're going to be let down. And it can be good, godly people. And they really act like God. You feel like they wake up and them and God walk in the cool of the garden. They could be so, you ever been around some people that's so godly make you feel like you're a sinner automatically? They just so holy. They come in, you start doing stuff like this. Hey, how you doing? God bless you. It's just automatic. And what I realize is that there are many times that there are good things that block our great God in our lives. There are many times that there are good things that we have, good people in our lives that block our great God. And oftentimes when we're coming into a new year, when we're trying to go to a new season, when you're trying to be a new you, you start thinking about all the bad things you need to remove. But what if I was to tell you there are some good things, some all right things, some permissible things that God is saying you might need to wave bye to? Because what we do is we often associate good with God, but you got to understand God is good, and every good thing, yes, comes from him, but every good thing is not him. And so when I come to this moment in Isaiah chapter 6, I feel like this is a moment that where Isaiah is journaling and sharing an experience he had with the Lord that took him further, that took him deeper, that helped him see something greater. And I believe that's the invitation that the Lord has for us today, that he wants to take some of us further. He wants to take some of us deeper. But for all of us, there is something greater. There's something greater he wants to reveal. There's something greater that he's calling us to. And I have been arrested by this text for over a month. I've preached this text several times in years past. My whole ministry at one point, we would chant Isaiah 6 and 8, send me out, go. And so I know this text. But this time, this is what got me right here. In verse 1, he says, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. In the year King Uzziah died, so let me paint the picture. King Uzziah was the king that Isaiah was serving. And every king in the Old Testament had a prophet that would teach them the law, that would help them stay accountable to the Lord. And so Isaiah was serving King Uzziah. In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. I want to make sure we get this. In the year King Uzziah did what? I did what? And so it wasn't until something was removed that something could be revealed. It wasn't until something was what? Removed that what? Something could be what? All right. And so when we look at King Uzziah, we can assume that King Uzziah was a bad king. We can assume that King Uzziah was an evil king, because when you read the book of Chronicles, every king that came, it was very few that actually followed the Lord. And King Uzziah was one of very few. I think it's less than 10 kings over the course of hundreds of years that actually were faithful to the Lord. And King Uzziah was one of them. King Uzziah, when he turned 16 years old, did not get his driver's license. No, he received the kingdom of Judah, and he was a king of a whole nation, a whole southern nation of Judah. Now, come on, at 16, yes, his dad Amaziah followed the Lord, and then King Uzziah followed the Lord just like his dad, and King Uzziah had a prophet by the name of Zechariah. Now, when King Uzziah started off, he was doing well. As a matter of fact, in 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verse 5, it says this. It says that during the time he sought the Lord, God gave him success. God made him prosper. When King Uzziah was walking with the Lord, God made him prosper. Y'all hear that? That's your recipe right there. Y'all up here trying to become influencers, walk with the Lord. He'll prosper you. You up here trying to climb a corporate ladder, walk with the Lord. He'll prosper you. What I'm saying is God has divine wisdom that changes our secular places. Mm-hmm. I was just reading Joseph. Joseph had a revelation about the entire nation of Egypt, how to make it through a famine. God gave him divine revelation in a secular place, and he was promoted from the prison to the palace. Listen, this is a freebie for somebody. Some of y'all been climbing the wrong ladder. Some of y'all been seeking success in the wrong places. Matter of fact, set all those things aside and seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. As long as Uzziah was walking with the Lord prospered him. Y'all scared of prosperity now. Here it is. What I realize is there's a few things that everybody in church want. Now, this can go PG-13, but follow it, okay? There's a few things that everybody in church want more of, but they're scared to talk about. Pastor Edwin, you can clean this up next week, okay? Because I'm not going to be here, all right? But there's a few things that people want in church, but they don't like to talk about. You ready? They want more money, they want more sex, and they want more power, but they're scared to talk about it in church. Because what happens is, it's part of our human nature to desire more money. Anybody with me? Mm-hmm. And to desire more sex, come on, y'all. Don't act. All these babies running around here. I know what you did. And then it's more power. But the thing is, when we don't talk about it in church, we'll talk about it in the world, and we'll go about it the world way, and then we're asking God to help me because I did it the wrong way. And so if we talk about it in church, we'll do it God's way, and he'll help you prosper in the things you're trying to do, because the things you're trying to do are what he told you to do. All right, that's a freebie. That's a freebie. Back to my sermon. And so what happens is our trials often push us to our knees, because when we're going through, boy, they say it like this. There's no atheist in the foxhole, because when you're going through, boy, you'll be bowing down. Some of the most loud worshipers are the desperate people. They realize, like, God, you all I got. The doctor can't fix it. My mama can't fix it. My daddy can't fix it. No, God, you all I got. When you are going through trials and tribulations, that's some of the times when you seek the Lord the most. Read your Bible every day. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Then you add your ad lib. God, you know I'm going through right now. I can't make it. They got enemies all around me. God, I need your help. Prepare a table for me, Lord. Prepare in the midst of my enemies. Let my haters be my elevators, God. Right? We quick to see God when we're going through stuff, and then when we finish going through, it's like we forgot about him. Nowadays, everybody want to talk like they got something to say, but nothing comes out when they move the lips, just a bunch of gibberish. They forgot about Jay. And so oftentimes, we find ourselves, it says, trials push us to our knees, but success will lift our hearts. And sometimes, let me go ahead and meddle with this a little bit. Sometimes God keeps you in the trial. Because in the trial, that's when you actually spend time with him. So this is why I say, I'll be with you even if I don't take you out of it. Some of us asking God to get us out of stuff. When he said, no, I want you to get to me in the stuff. And so what happens is with King Uzziah, he got to a place, 2 Chronicles 26:16, it says, but when he was strong, he grew proud to his destruction, for he was unfaithful to the Lord his God. It's like once he got the blessings of God, then he was like, I don't need God no more. Now, listen, this is as much of a confession, testimony, and journal that I'm sharing with y'all as it is a sermon. There are times when things are going well that I realize, let me make sure I seek the Lord even in this time. Because it's not, if you only come to God when you need him, this means he's a means to an end. And if he's a means to an end, this means you have made a proverbial heaven, and he's just now the one who pays for you to get into the entry place of where you want to go. He's not the means to an end. No, he is the end. This is why he's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And you got to realize that the ultimate reward of prayer is not what you get from him, it's that you actually get to him. Yeah, family, I'm telling you, it'll change you. Because oftentimes we rate God's goodness based on how he gave to us. Versus that you are living and you to know him and to be known is the greatest blessing in the world. And so when I look at Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Now, this is so powerful, family. I saw the Lord. So my wonder is, in this year, in this time, what things need to be removed so that God can reveal something greater? What good things need to be removed so God can reveal something greater? Some of us got some bad things that need to be removed so God can reveal something greater. I knew when I was preparing to come into this year, what I said was, God, whatever you need to get out the way, get it out the way. I want to empty it out. I want to bring you new wineskins, because when you fill me up, God, I want to be able to get everything you got for me. Whatever's distracting me, whatever's trying to manipulate me, whatever's pulling me down, I set aside every sin and weight that easily entangles me. And I fix my eyes on Jesus, because God, I want to get what you have for me. In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. God wants to reveal something greater to us in this year. He wants to reveal himself in a greater way. I saw the Lord. And so I pray that that's your testimony by the end of the year. I pray when you get to the end of the year, you say, man, I saw the Lord. And then you can add all the other things to it as to what he did when you saw him, how he showed up for you when you saw him, how he provided for you when he saw him, how he healed you when you saw him, how he comforted you when you saw him. Yeah, all of those things can be added on. But I'm going to tell you the real blessing. If you get to the end of this year and you say, you know what? I saw the Lord. That would be the greatest revelation you could ever have. Does anybody in here know what I'm talking about? That to see the Lord is one of the most amazing things that you could ever have. As a matter of fact, I decided to reach out to a couple of my friends, and we was texting on the way here. And when I text Meshach, Shadrach, and that bad Negro, and I said, when do you see the Lord? They said, well, we were bound because we wouldn't bow. We wouldn't bow to King Nebuchadnezzar, so we were bound and tossed in the fire. And I said, okay, I got it. You was in the fire, but when do you see the Lord? They said, we getting to it. We were the hot boys long before Cash Money Records. And so while we was walking through the fire, there was a force in the fire, and his name is Jesus. Y'all didn't know it then, but he was the Son of God. That's when I saw him. So I said, Moses, tell me when you saw him. He said, you know what? That's similar, because I saw something burning, but it was a bush, and I saw the Lord. Then I began to talk to David. I said, David, when do you see the Lord? He says, well, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And he saw the Lord. I talked to Saul. He says, that's what they used to call me. But when I was on the road to Damascus, he knocked me off my horse. And when I opened up my eyes, I saw the Lord. Is there anybody in here that got a testimony that can say, I've seen the Lord and he heard my cry? I've seen the Lord and he's opened up my eyes. In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. And when I come to this moment, what I'm saying is, family, when you see the Lord, you'll forever be changed. And so the first point is holiness revealed. In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. His holiness was revealed. And then watch what Isaiah says. He says, I saw the Lord, and he was sitting on a throne. When King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne. Okay, it wasn't until this earthly king was removed that Isaiah was able to see the heavenly king. Again, this is that good to great moment. It wasn't until King Uzziah had died, and technically it was a vacant throne, but we saw that even with an earthly throne being vacant, that the heavenly throne is never vacant. I'm so glad about that. Some of us will need to remember that right there, Pastor Edwin, when November come around, because I'm not worried about who's on Capitol Hill, because I know the one who died for me on a hill called Calvary. And so even when these thrones are exchanging, family, we're in a season where it's a game of thrones, and people fighting for the wrong thrones. What I'm saying is the king, he's still on his throne. And as long as the king is on his throne, I know that every little thing is going to be all right. As long as the king is on the throne, I'm telling you, you ain't got to worry that much, because he'll never leave you nor forsake you. And as long as he's alive, he is worthy to be praised, all right? And so I saw the Lord and his robe, and it says, and his robe filled the temple. So the king, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, and his robe filled the temple. Now watch what Isaiah says. His robe filled the temple. Yeah, I like that right there. Because sometimes we'll skip the details. But there's so much right there. And his robe filled the temple. Now, we talk about the train of his robe filling the temple. You know, the train on a bride's dress. If you ever seen a bride come in and they come down the aisle and they have this long train, and the more to do they are, the longer train they have. Uh-huh. It's a flex. Yes, it is. And so they have the train to their gown kind of says, like, that's part of their beautiness, right? That's part of their beautifulness. And so you see it. And so likewise, when a king comes in, the size of the train of his robe indicates the size of the kingdom in which he leads. Yeah. And so if you just saw three kings, the one with the largest train is the one that probably got the largest kingdom. We got that right? But here's the thing. Because the train of the robe, it covers a circumference that you can't walk within the presence of that royalty or either of that bride, because what's on them kind of gives a space where you can't come in. Y'all got it? Y'all following? And so when we think about a king, the larger his robe is like the larger space he could take up. Like, that's his territory. Now, when you get to this, what Isaiah saw, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, but the train of his robe filled the temple. He was sitting on the throne, but his train filled the temple. When a bride comes down, or even when a king is walking, the train has to be wherever they are. And it only covers ground while they're moving. But what Isaiah saw, Pastor Aaron, he saw the Lord sitting on the throne, but his robe filled the temple. This is what we call omnipresent, which means he's everywhere. And so it means while he's sitting there, his robe is now filling all the low places too. Oh my God. This means he could be sitting on high and still looking low. But it says specifically the train of his robe filled the temple. I'm almost finished teaching. This is what it says. So in ancient Hebrew or Jewish culture, when a rabbi or a person of royalty or a priest was put in place, a vase of oil was poured on their head. And when the vase of oil was poured on their head, it would go down their robe, and then it would collect at the hem, or either at the end of the robe. Y'all got it? So then, because y'all don't get it, I talked to this lady, and this lady, she said, well, I had an issue of blood for 12 years. Uh-huh. I went to Centerra. I went to the CHKD. I went to the neurologist. I went to all these places, and none of them could fix it. But when I saw Jesus was coming, and I saw the train of his robe, I said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I would be made well. Now, she activated her faith to get something that was available for everybody else. She just happened to grab it. So what am I saying? How does Isaiah 6 and that woman connect? Because his robe filled the temple. What God is saying in this season, and because his robe is there, you got easy access to his virtue. You got easy access to his power. You have easy access to your breakthrough. All you got to do is reach up and grab it. This is a him-touching environment. This is a him-touching season that this robe has filled the temple. Is there anybody here saying, look, I need something that only God can bring. I need the Lord if I could just touch the hem of his garment. Oh, the Lord is saying, now, this is the easy button. Y'all ever seen the statement, the easy button? He filled the temple. He filled the temple. All right, now that's the robe. And so when I keep on looking at this, now, and Isaiah saw something else. The next thing he saw in verse 2, this one, it gets a little strange, okay, if it's not strange already. Verse 2, he says, now above it, above this throne, stood the seraphim. The seraphim are these angels. It says, and each had six wings. With two, he covered his face. With two, he covered his feet. And with two, he flew. And it says, and one called to another, and they said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. If I was a reverse engineer this thing, the house being filled with smoke was a tangible way of saying his presence. And the idea that the posts were shaken was saying that where God was couldn't quite inhabit him. He's always breaking out. He's always breaking through. And if we serve the God of the breakthrough, maybe breakthrough is for you too. And so when I look at this moment, now when I look at what Isaiah saw, he saw these angels. You know, some people, we romanticize what we read. You know, Ephraim, people think like the angels, they just look pleasant. You know, they, you know, if you look like an angel, I might be a little shocked. You're a big guy, you know, but I was like, oh, great. I want my angel to have a nice beard and a nice edge. I want, like, you know, like, I want, you know, we think about angels look like pleasant people. The way the angels are described in the Bible, they look like gargoyles. They look like scenes out of Nope. Y'all seen that movie? Extraterrestrial, right? Some people are like, do you believe it's aliens? I read the Bible, it's stuff that I don't understand, okay? I'm not saying it. I'm not saying it is. I ain't making a case. I'm just saying I saw the Lord, okay? but he sees these seraphim, and they have six wings. I just want to give this to you. Six wings. Two cover their eyes, two cover their feet, and two they flew with. People don't really talk about this, but their wings, they had two sets of wings for worship and one set of wings for work. Okay, so the two sets that cover their eyes represents humility, because they were understanding who God, they already understood who God was in the fullness of his glory. So they knew we can't really look at them. We can't look at them like that. So their wings covered their eyes out of humility. Right? And so it was like blinders on a horse. And they say, well, I can't look upon the Lord. You'll read throughout the Bible. Moses asked to see the Lord, and the Lord was like, I only can show you just my side. And so you can't see the Lord without being glorified, because his holiness will eradicate you. And so the angels say, I can't look at him. All right, so that was humility. But then they had wings on their feet. The wings on their feet represent holiness. They recognize that they were in the midst of holy ground, and so that represents their holiness. So two sets of wings for worship, a set of wings for work. And then the other wings, it says with the other two wings, they flew. Now, if you was to go ahead and break this down, many of us, we worship our work when your work should flow out of your worship. Okay, you worship, I'm not saying it's wrong to have a job, I'm saying it's wrong to worship your work. I'm not saying it's wrong to serve at church, it's wrong to worship your work. And so there should be more worship and less working. But what happens is, when you worship more, you'll be able to work more too. Because in the worship component, you are filled up with God, so then you can carry God wherever you go. All right, and so now you see these six wings on these angels, but then they open up their mouth. And the way I look at this is kind of like the angels are like the pep band that come in to show Isaiah and the rest of us how to respond to God's presence. I don't know if you ever been in a room that you realize was out of your pay grade. I remember one time I walked up in one of those VIP lounges in an athletic event, and when I walked up in there, I was like, oh, so what y'all do is y'all give away my salary every month. Like, Every month, y'all donate the salary hit. Like, I mean, you ever pulled up in a parking lot and people just drove things that were different? And he's like, you decided to drive that on a Wednesday? y'all know what I'm talking about. And so I only can imagine Isaiah, I'm going to get down here real quick. I only can imagine Isaiah kind of being in this moment, seeing the Lord. And when he saw the Lord, and he's kind of in this place, and he's like, I don't know what to do. Then he see the angels flying. He's like, oh, my gosh. Now, some of us act like this in church. You don't know when to stand up. You don't know when to clap. You don't know when to shout. Right? You got some people that just worshiping. What's my homegirl that was worshiping up here with the hat on? Like, she knelt down. She was in there. I was like, I'll get there with you. There's more glory. So there's sometimes we don't know what to do. Have you ever been in a moment where people start standing up, but you didn't know why they were standing up? So what you do? You did something like this. And then when you stood up, you look at, what am I supposed to do? Some people. So I only can imagine Isaiah not knowing what to do in this moment. And so the angels come in to help him know how to respond to the presence. Because they're around him day and night, night and day. Their incense arise, they worship him. And so Isaiah gets a peek into this moment. And watch what they say. It says, they said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And that could sound like Christianese, which is language that we just say in church and we don't really know what it means. Many of us, we say stuff all the time. We don't know what it means. And you can tell when you church it. Somebody asks, how you doing? I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you doing? Are you sad? Yeah, now I'm blessed and highly favored. Now, yeah, the Lord is good. You know, people start saying stuff. If I complain, I'll be lying. All right. So holy, holy, holy. That's not language we use. That's not language we use all the time. But that language is it cannot, holy cannot be defined without defining God, and you cannot define God without defining holiness. And so when God says, be holy for I am holy, what holy means is pure, set apart, it means dedicated, it means different and distinct. And so when you hear them saying, holy, 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 they're saying, he's different, he's different, he's different. What they're saying is, no one like him, no one like him, no one like him. And they had to use this word, and they had to say it three times, which also represents the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They had to say it three times because what they recognized was there is no other song that has been written that can capture the holiness of God. So we're going to use the same word three times because what they're trying to say is indescribable perfection. They saw the Lord. Could you imagine? They just say, indescribable perfection. Indescribable perfection. Indescribable perfection. And why is God so indescribable? It's because our human finite minds can never capture the vastness of his glory. And so he allows us to have words like holy to say there's none like him. Every now and then, you got to remember, when you look at the Hebrew name for God or Jehovah, it is Yahweh. We say Yahweh, but in actuality, it was a breath. There was no vowels. Yahweh. Yahweh. And it was almost a capture. As I'm breathing, I have to say his name. And so is this, and so we had to ascribe a name that our mouths can actually fix. What I'm telling you, until you understand the vastness and the holiness of God, you're not ready to change yet. And so the angels, it's kind of like, you know, Muhammad Ali had to do his own thing. The champ is here. The champ is here. That's what Muhammad Ali did. But the angels came, and they began to tell Isaiah, the king is here. The king is here. And he is holy. You didn't hear me? Holy. He is. It became a call and response moment. It was like one of those great choirs, like, holy, holy, holy. Could you imagine being in there? And Isaiah's in this moment almost in shock as they're saying, holy, holy, holy. And the doorposts begin to shake. Oh, family, I'm going to have to preach that right there. As they were worshiping God, Pastor Edwin, something began to shake. as they was worshiping God, something began to shake. Okay, they ain't get it yet. Okay, Lady Ariel, I know you got this because you're a worshiper, right? Now, I remember in Acts chapter 17, Paul and Silas, they was locked up. And then they went and let them out. And they was in a jail cell. But instead of them asking to get out the jail cell, they invited the one that the jail cell couldn't hold. And it says as they prayed and sang songs, it says that the jail began to shake. It says that the prisoners were set free. Can I let somebody know that maybe your breakthrough is not in how loud you are and when you're arguing, but your breakthrough might be how loud you are when you're worshiping. If we have anybody in here that's ready to open up their mouth, the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. That when we worship God, something begins to shake. Are y'all getting it right now? I'm giving it to you on steroids because I want you to have an overflow of worship when Monday comes around, when Tuesday comes around, when Wednesday comes around, that you'll wake up and say, this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice. Your worship begins to shake things up. I tell people when they're married and they're trying to figure out how to get along and whatnot, I said, the problem is y'all talking to each other too much. Y'all always arguing and carrying on. If you actually talk to God more, he'll teach you how to talk to each other. And some of us are Christians that are in relationships, but your relationship is not Christian. And that's why y'all got to come to the marriage remastered. Because what happens is in the holiness of God, things begin to change. Now watch what's this. It says, they say, holy, holy, holy. Now in Revelation chapter 4, verse 8, and it talks about this moment too. It says, and each of the four living creatures has six wings that cover their eyes all around within. And day and night they never stop saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Psalm 96, verses 1 through 4. I got to read it for you. It says, oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. And sing to the Lord, and bless his name. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day, his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He has to be feared above all other gods. Family, I like what Psalm 96 verse 1 says. It says, oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Somebody say a new song. In other words, the song that he has for us to sing, it has to come from a different place. It got to be a song that can't be sung for anybody else. It got to be a song that can't be sung for anybody else. Somebody shall sing a new song. As we come into this moment, I believe what the Lord is saying to us, that this new season, that this greater revelation is meant to have a newness to it. As King Uzziah died, something old had passed away. And what I'm saying is, it's time for us to step into the new. It's time for us to step into the presence of God. This is why you gotta worship when you get in the presence of God, because in his presence is the fullness of joy, and at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. Family, we are almost there. Just a couple weeks ago, I had the privilege to take my son to see the Cowboys Commanders game. I know, it's trash. My bad. I'm a Bears fan. Bear down. We down, okay? But here's the thing. My son is a Cowboys fan. He guess it's the one place I've messed up as a parent. And so he said, Daddy, can we go to a Cowboys game? I can't wait to see Micah Parsons, Dak Prescott. He knows the whole roster. CeeDee Lamb. Like, he goes through the whole thing. And I'm like, yeah, son, the way to check in the savings set up, see. My son got so much faith. And so here it is. A couple weeks ago, we in a finished church. A mentor of mine happens to be the chaplain of the Commanders. He said, I've been having these four tickets, and you got time to get to the game if you leave now. So I told my son, he shouted, I grabbed two other guys, we went to the Commanders Cowboys game. My son was excited the whole time out of anticipation of seeing up close what he had only seen at a distance. He knew about it, but he hadn't seen it for himself yet. Oh, the excitement, we was buzzing the whole time on the way there. He couldn't sit still. And when we got out, he almost took off running out of anticipation.
to see what he already had knew about.
Mm-hmm.
And when we got there, we was partway through the first quarter. But what I saw was everybody was still standing up. That's that when the church has missed it. Everybody was still standing up partway through the first quarter. The Commanders are having a horrible season. The Cowboys are from 800 miles away. But everybody had gathered there in the midst of the cold, in the midst of bad parking, in the midst of people cursing and snarling. And they didn't use any of those excuses to keep them from seeing what they desired to see. My question is then, church, why is it we got a God that has put us on a good team? We got a God that is an ever-present help, but yet we got to be pumped and primed to lift up our voice. We got to be pumped and primed to sing a song of thanksgiving, to sing a song of praise. Is there anybody in here that say, I won't let a rock cry out in my praise because God is worthy to be praised? Come on, I need somebody to break out in an old Pentecostal shout right now. And lift up your voice, tilt your head back, poke your chest out, and shout to God a praise in this place. Family, he is worthy to be praised. From the rising of the sun till the going down of the same, Jesus is worthy to be praised. Come on, I'm gonna give you about 15 seconds to thank God just for who he is, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Mary's baby, the balm in Gilead, the good shepherd, the living bread, the living water. Is there anybody in here that can say, God, you are worthy to be praised? And so, family, before I leave, in Isaiah chapter 6, here's the thing that really got me past that one. Is that Isaiah, instead of him saying, wow, when he was in the presence of God, he said, whoa. Woe is me, for I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. He went to confessing. Because when he was in the holiness of God, he recognized how undone he was. He said, woe is me. I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. And the people I dwell in the midst of, they unclean too. This is the person to go to church and confess for you and them. They sitting over there like, man, the Lord know what we did last night. Lord, I'm nasty and they nasty too. They might not say it, but Lord, I know. I lay down my body as a living sacrifice. I know I wasn't supposed to do that. God, thank you for helping me breathe. Y'all know what it is. Isaiah confessed. And family, that's where revival happens. Breakthrough happens when we recognize, you know what, God? I'm imperfect, but you are perfect. And some of us think that we got to perfect ourselves before we come to the perfecter. How many times we've said or heard somebody say, I'll go to church, I just got to clean some stuff up first. Do you get clean before you get in the shower? No, you get in there funky and dirty as you are. And the places that need more attention, you pay attention to it. Amen? Cleanliness is next to godliness, as my grandmother used to say. But why is it we come into the presence of God and the things that need the most attention, we hide it? Isaiah says, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among the people of unclean lips. They had drifted in their faith. Their confession had gone away. Their worship was going to other things. And what he confessed, but then in the text, it says in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 6 and verse 7, says, then one of the angels, in the midst of them singing, holy, 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 one of them said, what, you confess? Goes to the altar, grabs a coal off the burning altar, and the coal was warm, was hot, because that's where you would give living sacrifices. That's where the meat would be cooked. And so they brought the burning coal to Isaiah and touched him right where he had confessed. He touched his lips. And he says, your transgressions are forgiven and your sin has been purged. Psalm 32 says it like this, blessed is the man whose sins have been forgiven, whose sins have been purged. If you ever been forgiven of some things that you know that should have condemned you to hell, I just believe that you should have an attitude of gratitude. You know you have touched things you weren't supposed to touch. You know you have said things you weren't supposed to say. You know you have thought things you weren't supposed to think. But But God, in his goodness and his mercy, he didn't deal with you in his anger. He dealt with you in compassion. Will you let the Lord touch you where you're hurting? Let him touch you where you're struggling. Let him touch you where you're nasty. Let him clean you up from the inside out. Is there anybody here that got a praise of thanksgiving? He reached way down and he picked you up. He pulled you out of the miry clay when you was far from the distant shores. He came and found you. The Jesus I serve, he'll heal you when you're hurting. He'll provide for you when you're lacking. He'll find you when you're lost. He'll give you clarity when you're confused. He'll give you strength when you're weakened. Is there anybody in here that's grateful for the Lord? I'm gonna keep on going until you get your breakthrough, because when you know whom the Son sets free, it's free indeed. Family, we can sing a song the angels can't sing. They don't know about his mercies, but great is his faithfulness. His mercies are new every morning. Come on, take about 30 seconds and praise God for keeping you. Praise God for healing you. Praise God for forgiving you. Come on, family. Come on, family. Lift up your voice in this place. Come on, just thank him. Hallelujah. Nah, don't give up yet. Don't golf clap him. Keep on pressing in. He's worthy. He's worthy, family. And so Isaiah was cleansed by a coal that came off the altar. But there was another altar that was called a cross. And it was Jesus that came and touched our sin sick soul. And now we can say, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. How precious is that flow? It reaches to the highest mountain. It flows to the lowest valley. Family, there is power in the blood. There is breakthrough in the house today. Will you let Jesus set you free today? Let him set you free today. Hallelujah. So family, today I want to just create the space for reverence and repentance. Reverence, we worship him for who he is. Repentance, because of who he is. God, I want to turn back to you. If you're here today and there is sin or struggles in your life that won't let you go. You're struggling and you don't know what to do with it. He said, I'm just going to deal with it. That's not the will of the Lord. The will of the Lord is not that you deal with it, that you be delivered from it. You hear me? That you be delivered from it. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, you will be saved. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Family, I've been practicing this thing here. Lord, I repent for the things I used to be scared to admit that I deal with. Yeah, like sometimes we want to give God the stuff that we think only people can handle. So it's like, God, yeah, I'm struggling to read my Bible. Here's my question. Pastor Ed, will you clean this up next week? When you're not reading your Bible, what are you indulging in? You confessing not doing the religious stuff, but you need to confess, stop doing the sinful stuff. Like, God, the reason why I won't read my Bible, because I was caught up with this, with that person. That's the part that the Lord's saying, stop being ashamed. Come boldly to my throne of grace that you might receive mercy in the time of need. So family, if you are ready to step into this next season, into this greater revelation, if you're ready to let some old things pass away, I'm gonna ask that you join me up here up front. I just wanna do a corporate prayer and repentance moment. If there's things in your life, maybe you're just coming up out of desperation. Maybe just coming up saying, Lord, I want more of you. If you have places in your life and you say, look, I'm tired of being in bondage. I'm tired of struggling with it. It seems to be everywhere. I'm trying to get away from it. The person keeps calling me. The addiction keeps knocking on me. Whatever it may be. Hallelujah. And so let's just take a moment right here. And we're just going to lift up repentance. Whatever it is, just lay it down before the Lord. Whatever it is. It might be a thought pattern, a worry, or an anxiety. We just lay it down before the Lord. might be anxiety, depression, whatever. God, we just lay it down. Hallelujah. Repentance is the timber of revival. So God, here we are. You said in your word, if your people who are called by your name will humble themselves, pray, seek your face, and turn from their wicked ways, you will hear from heaven and you will heal the land. So Father, here we are, God. We repent. We turn from our wicked ways. We turn from our wicked ways of thinking. We turn from our wicked ways of living. We turn from our ways of doubting and our ways of fear. And God, we turn towards you. We set aside every sin and weight that easily entangles. And we fix our eyes on you, the author and the finisher of our faith. So God, we lay it down before you now. In Jesus' name.
Come on, while we're still in this moment of laying things at the feet of Jesus, laying things aside. Many of you have come into this year weighed down because of things in your past, because of things that you're trying to let go. But I'm here to let you know that the good news of Jesus is that when we couldn't come to him, he came to us. And he has come to set captives free. So when Isaiah says, I saw the Lord, it wasn't Isaiah going to the Lord. It was the Lord actually coming to Isaiah. And I want you to know today that you thought you were coming to church. No, 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 no. God created this space so he can come meet you. And as you are here today in person and online, I'm here to let you know that freedom is in this place today. That breakthrough is in this place today. That though you may have used to struggle with it, you don't have to struggle with it any longer. That it may have had a hold on you, but Jesus is able to get a hold on it, because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And some of you are here today and you're saying, Pastor, I want to be free. I want to be free of the things that have been holding me down. I want to be free of the things that have been holding me back. I'm here to let you know that the only way you can experience that is through Jesus. It starts with you inviting him into your life. It starts with you confessing him as Lord and as Savior of your life. And if you're here today and you're ready to make that profession of faith online and in person while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I'm not going to ask you to do anything more than just to lift up your hand. I just want to see you if you're here. But if you're here today and you're saying, Pastor, I want to give my life to Jesus, would you just shoot up your hand on the count of three? One, two, three. This is you. Come on, just raise that hand. Slip up the hand. Amen. I see you. Come on, if you're here today, no matter what your age is, no matter what your ethnicity is, no matter what your background is, Jesus is for all people. If this is you, and you're saying, I want a new beginning in Jesus, just lift up your hand right where you are. If you're online, I want you to drop something in the chat to let us know, because we want to connect with you. But if you're here today and you've raised your hand as a sign and as a symbol that you want to give your life to Christ, even if you have not raised your hand, but you want to give your life to him today, it's as simple as this. I want you to say these words after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you rose back to life to give me new life. Thank you for forgiving all of my guilt, all of my shame, all of my sin. I receive your grace. I receive your forgiveness. Would you be my Lord? Would you be my Savior? In your name, Jesus, I pray. And every person said amen. Come on, family. Can we celebrate those who have said yes to Jesus today? Come on, online and in person.